say amendment bill, there were some administrative issues that were kicked up in the drafting of the bill that we're dealing with. Those are to be corrected, as we agreed last week. So I will now give you opportunity, because there are some slight developments that Advocate Ibrahim will be dealing with. And then as soon as she's done, then the committee secretary, Mattia, will then take us through the company's amendment bill. We consider that, and then we vote on its adoption or rejection. And then we put the next one, which is the second amendment on the company's bill. So that's how we'll be continuing with the processes. Let me now welcome Advocate Ibrahim and hand over to her.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much to yourself, and good morning to all the honourable members on the platform, as well as our colleagues from the department and within the administration. Chairperson, following the meeting last week, we then sent a list of the proposed changes to the Bill's office. As indicated, I was going to double check with them that all of those changes would constitute administrative changes, meaning that it would not need to go back to the Portfolio Committee for consideration. And they indicated that indeed the changes that we proposed, which members will recall, was the collection of the spelling error, changing of some numbering to make things read easier, and then the change of the word refer to contemplated in two or three places is all in order. And what they will do, Chairperson, is that after the committee adopts the bill and the council then adopts, if that does indeed happen, before it's sent to the presidency, the bill's office then makes those collections because they are purely administrative in nature, Chairperson. So there will not be a version, what we refer to as a cleaner version often that members may be used to, because of course members will know that there is no C list that is prepared or D bill that gets produced in a Section 75 process. So Chair, indeed those amendments have been captured, and as indicated, because they're administrative, they will not feature on a new amended bill that the committee needs to adopt. So what the committee adopts is the bill that is currently before it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate Ibrahim. Honourable members, are there any questions for clarity on the input of Advocate? None. Okay. At this stage, then I will allow a Community Secretary, Madia, if could take us through the first bill, the company's amendment.
Thank you, Chair. Do you want me to take the members through the actual bill or the report, Chair?
No, the report.
The report, okay. Yeah. Chair, should I read out the report?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, members. Thank you, Chairperson. This is the report on the report on the Select Committee on Trade, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour on the Company's Amendment Bill B27B 2023, dated today, the 19th of March 2024. The Select Committee on Trade, Industry, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour, having considered the subject of the company's amendment bill B27B 2023, reports on the bill as follows. Introduction. The company's amendment bill was passed by the National Assembly, referred to the National Council of Provinces for concurrence on the 30th of November 2023. The committee received the briefing on the bill from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition on the 5th of December 2023. The purpose of the bill. The purpose of the company's amendment bill is to amend the Companies Act 2008 so as to insert certain definitions and to amend the definition of securities to clarify whether notice of amendment or memorandum of incorporation takes effect, to provide for the Commission to publish as prescribed the notice of the location of a company's records. Further, the purpose is to differentiate where the right to gain access to companies' records may be limited to provide for the preparation, presentation, and voting on companies' remuneration policy and directors' remuneration report, to provide for the filing of a copy of the annual financial statement, to empower the court to validate the irregular creation and the allotment or issue of shares, in addition to clarifying that shares which are not fully paid are to be transferred to a stakeholder and dealt with in terms of a stakeholder agreement, to exclude the subsidiary company from the requirements relating to financial assistance, to provide for instances where special resolution is required for the acquisition by a company of its own shares, to provide for a social and ethics committee report and remuneration report, but also to be presented at an annual general meeting of a public company, to provide for the circumstances under which private company will be a regulated company. Further, the purpose is geared to provide for the publication of the application for the exemption from the requirement to appoint a social and ethics committee, to deal with the composition of the social and ethics committee, to provide for the preparation by the social and ethics committee of a social and ethics committee report, as prescribed, to be presented at the annual general meeting or shareholders meeting, as the case may be, to provide in respect of a private company, personal liability company, or non-profit company for the appointment of an auditor or at the shareholders meeting, if such appointment is a requirement in terms of the Act. In addition, the envisaged Act is crafted to extend the definition of an employee share scheme to include situations where there are purchases of shares of a company, to provide for the determination by the minister in consultation with a panel of financial officials for purposes of identifying the private companies which parts B and C of Chapter 5 of the Act apply, to provide for the post-commencement finance for unpaid amounts that are due to the landlord during business rescue proceedings, to provide for the commission to substitute the contested name of a company under certain circumstances. Finally, the purpose is crafted to provide for mediation, conciliation, and arbitration by the company's tribunal only in respect of relief or complaints in terms of the Act, to further provide for the operation and governance of the company's tribunal, to provide for pronouncements that may be issued by the Financial Reporting Standards Council, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Section 3 process follows. The committee invited public comment through advertisements in newspapers, via social media, and on government and parliament's website. The closing date for written submissions was the 29th of January 2024. The advertisement was published in all 11 official languages. The committee received submissions on the bill from the following stakeholders: Norton Rose Fulbright, Banking Association of South Africa, and the Johannesburg Stock Exchange joint submission, Cliff Dicker Hofmeyer, Consumer Goods Council of South Africa, Congress of South African Trade Unions and South African Clothing and Textiles Workers Union joint submission, the Institute of Directors of South Africa, the Institute of Directors of South Africa and King Committee, Law Society of South Africa, National Clothing Retail Federation of South Africa, SASOL, Webber Wentzel, Association of Black Securities and Investment Professionals, and Just Share, Alan Gray, Computer Share, Center for Environmental Rights, South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, and the Institute for Directors of South Africa Remuneration Forum Committee joint submission, South African Reward Association, Western Cape Government, and OUTsurance. The committee held public hearings on the 21st of February and received responses from the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition on the 27th of February 2024. This was followed by responses by the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition on the 5th and 12th of March on the submissions received. On the 12th of March, the committee deliberated on the bill. The outcome of the committee's deliberation: 5 members of the African National Congress voted in support of the bill, 2 members of the Democratic Alliance voted against the bill. The committee agreed to the bill without amendments, report to be considered. And that is the company's amendment bill report, Chair.
Thank you so much, Ms. Solomons. Honourable members, any comments on the report? If not, OK, and we then adopt the report. Those who agree, please raise your hands. Smarty, you assist me in terms of counting.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, we have five hands. We have Honorable Moimang, Honorable Dango, Honorable Mushori, yourself, Honorable Hai, and Honorable Mamtahani. So there's five members in support of the bill, Chair.
Yeah. Now, remember, can you please lower your hands? Trying to work out on this so that I can see. All right. I'm just trying to check the names. Okay. Those who are voting against the adoption of the report, please raise your hand. Solomons?
I don't see any hands, Shay.
Okay. Those are abstaining. Please raise your hand.
Chair, the abstentions are captured as follows. Honorable Lant and Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hand, honorable members. The report is agreed to, honorable members. Thank you very much. The next one, Ms. Solomons.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Imrika, if you can please fight the report on the Second Amendment Bill. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Chair. The report of the Select Committee on Trade, Industry, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour on the Company's Second Amendment Bill, B26B2023, dated 19th of March 2024. The Select Committee on Trade, Industry, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour, having considered the subject of the Company's Second Amendment Bill, B26B2023, reports on the bill as follows. The Company's Second Amendment Bill was passed by the National Assembly, referred to the National Council of Provinces for concurrence on the 30th of November 2023. The committee received a briefing on the bill from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition on the 5th of December 2023. The purpose of the bill, the purpose of the Company's Second Amendment Bill is to amend the Companies Act 2008 so as to amend the time bars in respect of proceedings to recover any loss, damages or costs for which a person may be liable in terms of Section 77 of the Companies Act. Further, the bill aims to amend the time bar for the bringing of an application to declare a person delinquent in terms of Section 16.2 and 6.3 of the Companies Act, and to provide for matters connected therewith. The process followed. The committee received public comment through advertisements in newspapers via social media and on government and parliament's website. The closing date for written submissions was the 29th of January 2024. The advertisement was published in all 11 official languages. The committee received submissions on the bill from the following stakeholders. IODSA and the King Committee, the Law Society of South Africa and the Western Cape Government. The committee held public hearings on the 21st of February and received responses from the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition on the 27th of February 2024. This was followed by responses by the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition on the 5th and 12th of March on the submissions received. On the 12th of March 2024, the committee deliberated on the bill. Outcome of the committee's consideration of the bill, five members of the African National Congress voted in support of the bill, two members of the Democratic Alliance voted against the bill. Conclusion, the committee agreed to the bill without amendments before to be considered.
Thank you very much, Ms. Solomons. Honourable members, any comments on the report? If not, I then put a report for a vote. Those in favour, please raise your hand.
May I proceed, Chair?
Yes, please.
Chair, those members who have voted in support of the bill is as follows: Honourable Moimang, Honourable Mamarhani, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Kai, and Honourable Dango.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you so much. Those voting against the adoption of the report, please raise your hand.
There are no hands, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, the abstentions are captured as follows: Honourable Lant and Honourable Boshoff.
Thank you so much. You can lower your hands, Honourable Members. The report is agreed to. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. So the report will then be 80-seat, Honourable Members. I've seen in the NCOP report, provisionally scheduled for the 26th of March, that is next week on Tuesday, to be considered by the House. Thank you so much. Let's thank the DGIC, just in the DG, DDG is amongst us, and the parliamentarizing officers, Sulufelo and Saroj. Thank you very much. You are free to leave the platform, but if you want to continue listening on other items, you are free to do so. Thank you so much. Let me also thank Advocate Ibrahim for assisting the committee with legal advice since we started with the process. I think we received a briefing from the department on the 5th of December. So we've been working with them throughout the process. Thank you very much for your assistance, Advocate. You are also free to leave the platform if you so wish. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Doc. Thank you, Advocate. We now and go to Advocate Telan to deal with the constitutional matters that relate to the negotiating mandates that come from the provinces. After that, we'll hand over then to the department.
Morning, Chairperson. Could I just ask Novi Piwo to please give me sharing rights?
Okay. Can you do so, Sis Grace?
In the meantime, while I'm waiting for Nozipiwo, Chairperson, you are aware that we received five provincial mandates and we received three more provincial mandates last night at 7 p.m. I think the last one came in at about 9. Therefore, we haven't applied our mind as legal services to the three that came in. So I do ask the committee's indulgence just for us to apply our mind to those mandates and then present them at the next committee meeting.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was indicating, that we will also be applying to the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces for the extension of time. Both yourself and the department will be responding to those that they received on time, and then next week perhaps we could have a comprehensive then responses.
Yes.
In the hope that those outstanding province, I think so far it's only KZN, if I'm not mistaken, that
yes.
Not yet. Yeah.
We're still waiting on KZN.
Yeah.
I still don't have sharing rights.
So, Grace? Can you please give a co-hosting to
Chair, Chief, Grace is having IT challenges, and unfortunately, I can't. Myself and Enrico are both co-hosts, so we can't leave hosting rights. Can I maybe ask that? Does Enrico maybe have access to the document that he can maybe project it? Because none of us can give our hosting rights right now.
I had sent it to Grace last night.
Okay, can you maybe just send it to me quickly? Because like I said, she's having IT challenges right now.
Sure.
mcofflickparliament.gov.za, if you don't mind. Sorry about that.
Sure.
Sorry about that, Chief.
No problem.
Thank you, Chair. I've just received the document and I've sent it to Enrico. Enrico, can you please project?
Yeah.
Okay, Maria, I'll project now.
Thank you.
Sorry, has it been circulated to members?
I did send it to Nosy Biwa only at 7 last night, Chairperson. No, I think I sent it at like 5 or 6 o'clock. I'm not too sure if she circulated.
It was forwarded to Enrico and Madia and members, to everyone.
Okay.
No, Madia, you do have it.
Yes, I do. I'm looking at it now, Grace.
Okay. Can you say it? Can you put it up on the screen, Mr. Bazia?
It's a short document. Okay, so thank you, Ibrahim. So this is basically just a matrix of each resolution, each mandate from each province, and the date of the deliberation, and then basically what each mandate's report set out to state regarding the commenting period that they underwent and the public hearings and what came from those public hearings. Legal Services has solely focused on the legal issues in each report. They've left the policy consideration and policy issues and suggestions from various legislatures up to the department to respond to. So if I can take you through this very brief report. The first is from the Free State Legislature that's in front of you. The date of deliberation was the 1st of March, and the mandate is very clear that the Portfolio Committee on Agricultural, Rural, Economic Development and Small Business, Sports, Arts and Culture, as designated by the Free State Legislature, voted in favor of the bill. And these were the following issues raised in the Free State Legislature's report. The first issue was on Clause 4, Section 11.2a. They felt that there should be greater clarity on what constituted a transparent appointment process and that this should be included in the bill. However, Legal Services feels that this could be included in regulations, but it will take guidance from the department. The second issue that they had was also pertaining to Clause 4 of the bill, Section 11.2c. They felt that the minister should not have unilateral power to determine remuneration of directors. Legal Services then responded to say that this was not unilateral power, that the determination is done through guidelines and in terms of market value. If we can just scroll down a little. Thank you. The next issue was also pertaining to Clause 4. It was regarding Section 11.3. They felt that greater clarity is required on what scenarios or circumstances would warrant granting a High Court order to appoint the director not recommended by the board. And I think the committee raised a similar question in our previous meeting. And the basic answer as per legal services advice is that it was understood as advised by the department that as the agency will be a state-owned company, there would be a need to protect the state as a shareholder in terms of the Companies Act. Where the board and the shareholders do not agree, the shareholder can apply to the court to determine any rights of the shareholder, including an appropriate order, and this is in terms of the Companies Act. We can then move on to the next issue, which is Section 16.1. They felt that there should be a more comprehensive qualifications on the board or board members, not a board criteria. They felt that a broad criterion shouldn't be included, but actual specific comprehensive qualifications for each board members. And legal services has responded as follows, that the list of what skills and knowledge should not be included in the Act, as this would be too restrictive. It is understood that when you read Section 15, Section 16, and Section 17 together, that the skills, knowledge, and experience required of a board will align with the functions of the board. However, the department can provide clarity as to why the list of qualifying criteria was not included, but it is legal services' opinion that a criteria should not ever be included in an Act, as it might limit the Act somewhat. If we can move on, if we can look at 17F12, there was a suggestion that alternative appointment processes for the Ombud should be established, as the current appointment process provides the Minister with unilateral power. Once again, CLSO would like to state that the Minister appoints an Ombud after shortlisting, and this is done by the NA. The shortlisting is done by the NA. The Minister does not have unilateral power. Section 17F1 states that the nomination process must be transparent. The next issue was also regarding Clause 5. It was Section 17F5, and this was the fact that the remuneration of the Ombud and the Deputy Ombud should require parliamentary approval. CLSO has also said that this is a policy decision for the department to respond to, and it is not in our, it's not our area of expertise whether or not Parliament should be an approval authority, and it was a policy decision for it not to be an approval authority. Section 17S, Clause 5, that was the next issue, and this was in regards to the regulations made by the Minister relating to the Ombud. The Free State Legislature felt that the Ombud should be passed. Hello?
No, continue, Advocate. I think Ms. Nizulu's phone is there. I mean, the microphone is on.
Yes. Yeah. They felt that it should be submitted to Parliament for consideration, that all regulations should be submitted to Parliament for consideration prior to the Minister making these regulations. And legal services has stated that delegated legislation making by members of the executive is an essential part of public administration and gives a fix to policies set by the legislature. And this has been decided on in terms of the new CLICS judgment. The second issue is that the legislature should not be overwhelmed by the need to determine minor regulations. And this is the Justice Alliance case. And this is sort of to justify why we feel that regulations shouldn't be submitted to Parliament for consideration in this instance. The next issue is in terms of Clause 5, which is Section 17Y. This was vague. It was a vague provision. They felt that the minister's power to declare unfair practices requires clarification. I do apologize that there is no response from legal services on this table, but I had updated the slides, the presentation, and basically the response, which I will circulate. Basically, the response is that this was dealt with in the portfolio committee. The bill previously contained a list of unfair practices, and this was removed from the Act. Now, the Act is very clear on what and how the Minister will go about declaring certain practices unfair. Therefore, we do not believe, or it is our opinion, that there is a need for extra clarity. It is very clear in what instances the Minister may declare unfair trading practices. And we feel that the bill is constitutionally sound now that section was removed, which actually listed what could be unfair trading practices. And that, as I say, was removed in the PC process, the NA process of the bill. If we could just move on to the Limpopo legislature. The deliberations took place on the 4th of March, and the mandate is as follows. The provincial NCLP permanent delegates to negotiate in favor of the bill, considering the input and comments from the public as attached on the report. And basically, the public inputs and comments do not relate to specific clauses of the bill. The comments were on logistics of the office to support small businesses and raised issues regarding red tape and the lack of access to funding, the high cost of tender fees, growing unemployment. And legal services do not feel that there were any, do not see any legal issues raised, and the only there were general policy considerations relating to small business. The third mandate is from the Mpumalanga legislature, and the deliberations took place on the 15th of March. The mandate is as follows. The Portfolio Committee on the Premier's Office, Finance, Economic Development and Tourism, after considering the National Small Enterprises Amendment Bill B16B23, confers on the permanent delegate representing Mpumalanga province in the NCOP the mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill. The majority of the stakeholders spoke to the practical aspects of the Ombud office and once again provided various suggestions or alternatives regarding the establishment of the national office. It also suggested that the bill clarify the voting rights of the CEO and the CFOs of the board. And these are all policy considerations or suggestions in terms of which the department can respond to. But there were a few legal issues raised, the first being regarding Section 11.2A. They felt that there was an interpretation issue, that the minister appoints the board on recommendation of the board after transparent process conducted by it. They felt that this is a bit confusing, as the board was not established as yet, but needed to make recommendations to the minister. However, there are executive and non-executive board members, but also there's a transitional arrangement that can be found in Section 10, and Section 10 supports the appointment of the board members. Section 16.4, they felt that they requested clarity regarding the voting rights of the CEO and the CFO. And this is a policy decision whether these should be included or should not be included. Section 17B, they felt that this was a conflict of interest as members of the human resources would, if you could just scroll down, committee will have to nominate themselves to serve on the board. But this is standard. This is how boards are established and subcommittees are established in terms of the Companies Act, in terms of Section 72 of the Companies Act. If we can then move down to the Northwest Legislature, members can see that the deliberations took place on the 7th of March, and the mandate was as follows, that the Northwest Provincial Legislature votes in favor of the bill. All districts voted in support of the bill. However, there were a number of questions raised in public hearings, and the majority of the public comments centered around the policy and implementation decisions taken by the department regarding small businesses and the establishment of the Ombud. Legal services believe that there are no legal issues raised and that the only general policy considerations relating to small businesses were raised by submitters and that this should be responded to by the department. The next one and the last one is the Northern Cape. Deliberations took place on the 5th of March. The legislature votes in favor of the bill. And there are no written submissions were received, but the public hearings were held and the stakeholders recommended that non-governmental and non-profit organizations must also form part of the Cooperative Banks Development Agency and the Small Enterprise Development Agency. Once again, legal services would like to state that this is a policy consideration for the department to consider. Members, these are not the final mandates, but these are the mandates that we have received so far. Like I said in the beginning of my presentation, we received Gauteng's and the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape's negotiating mandates last night, and we will consider them and respond to the committee at a given time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Advocate. Honourable members, as I indicated earlier, that Advocate Lana will be joining another select committee that is dealing with the electoral bill, amendment bill. So we'll give an opportunity to members to ask questions or clarity on the presentation. Perhaps if Mr. Bazia, you can put it up again so that members can refer to it. Because some of us did not check, because this morning, as was indicating, I had to attend another meeting. So they didn't check what came in before I went to bed.
I do apologize, Chairperson, that we were seeing you sent it this late. It has been a little, we've been under the pressure with this bill somewhat, and I'm sure the department can relate because the mandates have come in drips and drabs towards the end of the term.
No, we understand. Members, are there any questions for clarities? Maybe you should go up the first page, Mr. Bazia. Is that the first page? Yeah, no, that is the last page. Just go to the first page. Provinces are also allowed to ask questions for clarity on the legal issues that a legal advisor has commented on. You can scroll down slowly, Mr. Percy. So on Free State, the clauses that are being responded to is Clause 4 on Section 11, 2A, 2C, and also Section 11, 3, subsection 3. So I take it that so far there are no questions for clarity. So scroll down, Mr. Percy.
The only question, Chair, is on the parliamentary legal advisor indicate that the department must provide clarity as to why they did not give more elaboration on the qualification scale. Then I see we're just passing. Probably maybe they can help us in regard to that.
Yeah, no, we advise, well, I mean, when we considered the bill and the legal response would be, we can understand why logically you would not include a list of criteria that you needed for various board members or various skill sets for the ombud. So we understood the reason behind that because you would not want a closed list of skills. You'd try and make it as general as possible because if there was something else that you would have to add, you'd have to come back and amend the bill. But I mean, if there was a different reason, then the department should just maybe provide us with clarity. But that is our understanding why.
Yeah. Right.
I think Mr. Honorable Lunt's hand is up, Chairperson, from what
okay.
I can see.
Honorable Lunt?
Chairperson, that's why I didn't jump in because my point could have been made at any stage. But with this legislation, and I mean, we hear the legal advisors raising the concern. We hear the committee assistants, the secretaries raising the concerns. There's the complaints coming from provinces on the number of bills that is now being pushed through here at the end. And I've just seen the legal opinion that one of your colleagues, Honorable Dodovo, received about legislation being done in such a rush at the end. And I did not send it to everybody, but I sent it to both you and Honorable Moy Mungs, the chairpersons of the committee, to please take note of it, because this is what we have been flagging from the beginning, that we need to do proper legislation, not push it through and make any mistakes. And there's now the first piece of legal advice to another colleague that I'm sending to you and Honourable Moimang, so that you can read it in your leisure time, and then hopefully apply the same to this committee, so that we do not sit with a situation where we are forcing legislation through here on number 99, and maybe making a mistake or two. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Lund. I've read what you sent to me, but I'll respond after the department has made its point in terms of the processes that we have followed as we're processing this legislation. I will respond after. You can scroll down. Are there any other comments? I know honorable members, including honorable members from the provinces, that some of us are seeing this presentation for the first time. So there will be another time next week on the 26th, where we'll be then going through the comprehensive, which will also include other issues that are raised by other provinces. Hopefully by that time, KZN would have also submitted their negotiating mandate. And then if there are issues or proposals that they're making, the CLSO will also respond to those.
Indeed,
and also do the same, yes. So they will still so you'll have the document now, and then you can go through it. But then you'll also receive a comprehensive one, which include all the provinces' comments and the comments of the CSN. Yeah.
Yes, and Chairperson, we will strive to include Gauteng, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape by tomorrow, and hopefully circulate it way in advance before the next week's meeting.
All right.
The next meeting.
Thank you so much. All right, then you are free to go.
Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. You can take it down, Mr. Bazia. And now I will hand over to the DG of the Department of Small Business Development. She will introduce her delegation and also indicate will be taking us through the responses of the department. But as I was indicating earlier, this is more like a preliminary responses. We'll be expecting a comprehensive responses on the 26th. Yeah. Over to you, DG Manzini.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to all the members on the call. The presentation will be made by DDG Delwa, but I just would like to give some opening remarks by also indicating that we have come a long way from the drafting up until the finalization, the consultation and the public hearing processes. And again, also thank you that we have traversed the path together, firstly with the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development, providing technical support where needed, since the bill process dictates that once tabled, it is driven by the legislative arm. And again, the latest support has been through the National Council of Provinces, where again, we provided technical support without dealing with the content of the bill. Honorable members, we received several written comments, except the comments from the South African Reserve Bank's Prudential Authority. Other comments were not substantive, nor in contrast with the bill. We have also responded to this committee on the written inputs. As recent as yesterday, we were still engaged in responding to comments and Western Cape Provincial Legislature, Western Cape. And again, like it's some the other mandates, we were still receiving as late as yesterday. Chairperson and honorable members, if you would permit me, I would like to make general observations on the type of comments received. And this will assist what I'm doing when we get to the actual presentation. Most oral comments did not relate to the legislative provision, but complaints related to service delivery in our agencies, as well as the local economic development offices. And other comments included one like your lack of budget that is allocated to the LED offices, lack of access to finance, SIFA follows same rule as commercial banks, high interest rates, There were also concerns about the combination of existing SEDA offices and thus a reduction in the number of offices available to support small enterprises. Also, a lack of protection against foreign business owners. Compliance with the COIDA was also a concern, which is COIDA, the Compensation for Occupation Injuries and Diseases Act. Also, lack of support to persons with disabilities. Issue of the red tape in ensuring compliance with regulatory requirements, high cost of tender fees and renewal fees, growing employment on especially youth is problematic, lack of cooperation with local government, access to safe and affordable business premises that allows for access to clients remains a problem. And the issue again of the crime and gangsterism is a problem, and reporting to SARPS does not help. These are the issues that were raised, and also the need to support to ensure compliance to minimum product standards. And again, there are some of the general recommendations that were made were, one, the issue of the rollout of mobile offices to support small enterprises, the manner and pace at which the SETFA, which is the new entity offices, will be rolled out to provinces will determine the success of the merger of the entities. Also need clarity on the classification of the different size categories of small enterprises. The need to quicker turnaround on application for funding and condition should be lower than for banks to support the development needs for small enterprises. Again, SETFA also to include UCIPC and SARS. Local government should also be able to assist small enterprises so that small enterprises do not have to travel far to get certification for compliance to tender. SARS must work with local government. Again, on the issue of the TREP programs, we need to improve to align with the needs of small enterprises, especially the issue of the turnaround time. And again, we undertake to take these comments into consideration as we undertake our pragmatic review as part of developing the strategy for SETFA, the entity that will emerge following the NCOP concurrence on the bill and the subsequent signing into law. Again, Chairperson and honorable members, let me allow the next presenter to take you through in detail on the written and oral comments, as well as the comments in the provincial mandate. I thank you, and I introduce DDG Delwa to quickly take us through the presentation, the comments on the specific section, and what were the issues raised, and again, the way we have responded. I thank you. DDG Delwa, through you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Over to you, DDG.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the honorable members. I think also similar to the previous presenter, I just realized I don't have sharing rights for the presentation.
Okay, but have you shared the presentation to the committee assistant or committee secretary?
I want to believe that the department has done so, Chair. If I can just confirm.
Mr. Bazia, do you have the... here's it. Yeah, okay. No, it can't be. That one is a parliamentary one. The one from the department... Mr. Bazia.
Morning, Chair. I don't have the one from the department. I only have the mandates and the reports, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, I have not received the one from the department. The one that they are doing now, I have not received it.
DDG is supposed to have received this before this committee meeting sits, so that members can go through the report, so that they are able to ask questions for clarity and engage your responses.
My apologies, sir. It was sent early this morning. I'm just trying to forward it. I'm really sorry about that.
Okay. Even that you'll still be doing the same then in next week, so we'll pardon you. We'll expecting then a comprehensive report, which also includes the one that you've already commented on or responded to.
My apologies, Chair, once again, it's being forwarded, but maybe if the Chair will permit, if I can start while the colleagues are receiving and flighting it.
Let's wait so that we can see what you, which clause.
Okay, all right, okay, all right, Chair, thanks.
Just a minute here.
Chair, I've forwarded to Madia and to Sister Nizum.
Okay. Sister Nizum, can you forward it to Mr. Fazia, please?
I'm still waiting for it. It's not showing. Okay.
The chair was just sent to
me. Forwarded it to you, Henrico. Oh, sorry.
Okay, sorry. Ms. Grace, I will flight it now.
Yeah. Can you make it the full slide there? Okay. Over to you, DDG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I can ask the person to move straight to slide 35. Chairperson, you will recall that previously we have dealt in this committee with the written comments that we have received. I think the update there is to say that the concerns that were raised have been addressed, so there are no longer any issues in those areas. Just to come specifically to the mandates, we are going to cover the mandates received from Free State, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest and Western Cape. As of the evening when this was being done, we still didn't look at the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, even though they were received, and KwaZulu-Natal, which is yet to be received. Next slide. I think, Chairperson, with your permission, I will also skip the general comments which the DG has touched on, coming from the different mandates, and will only focus on the slides that deal specifically with the clauses. So if you can move to the next slide, I think.
Chairperson, if I may,
I have the mandate from Gauteng with me. Should I forward it on to the
No, we have. No, we all have the money. All of them. It's just except the KZN stuff. Not they arrived late, so they didn't have time to go to them and then make their responses to it. So it will form part of the responses that we'll be receiving on Tuesday.
Chair.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We just received the mandate from KZN this morning. I've already forwarded it to Enrico and to members.
No, we're not going to deal with them now. We're only dealing out the responses to those that were received on time. Then everything else, including those that will be responded to, will be in the same document, but that the focus now will be those that have submitted late. But there will be one document with all the provinces and the clauses and sections that they've made comments on in terms of their proposals, and then the responses of the department on all of them. But then the focus next week will only be on those that the department did not have a chance to respond to because they were submitted late. Provided that the chairperson then also agrees to the extension of the period. Yeah. Continue, DDG Telmo.
Thank you, Chairperson. If you can scroll to slide 39, that's where we'll start.
Sorry. Sis Grace?
Chair?
Earlier on, we were told that we have a technical problem, so no one could just give the co-hosting rights.
Oh, they can give, Madia can give her the hosting rights. Because I cannot open, I've got a small screen here that I cannot work on.
Grace, I'm the co-host. I don't have permissions to give anybody, only you, unless you give me the hosting rights, I won't be able to give our co-host rights to anybody.
So they can forward the documents to Enrico.
No,
this is getting embarrassing, Chairperson. I mean,
absolutely.
And I mean, this Zoom works the same on a small screen and as a big screen. Doesn't suddenly work better if you're on a big screen.
No, I've got a load setting.
The user capabilities, not the screen.
I've got a load shedding.
No, okay. We all have load shedding and we prepare for that, Chair. Goodness gracious me.
I don't know what's going on. Everybody's just speaking. Enrico, can you... Oh, DDG, can you take us through slide 39, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think here it's relating to the language and the drafting errors that were raised in the bill. Our response really is that the bill has been certified by OXLA and that it's consistent and properly drafted in the form and style which conforms to the legislative practices. Another issue that was raised was on the language. I think the bill has been translated to most languages, and in terms of the provinces, some provinces ensured that the bill was presented in more than one language. Next slide. And then there was a comment that the bill lacked comprehensive assessment of external economic factors. They are listed here, such as market dynamics, global economic trends, and so forth. The response is that the bill did go through the SEIA's process with DPME, and that there is a final SEIA's report that complies with the minimum requirements with the certification of compliance issued by DPME. Next slide. Next slide, please.
Chairperson. Chairperson. This is really getting, Chair, really, it's time that the people that work as hosts listen to what the presenter is saying so that we can move. We've been sitting from 9 o'clock and actually nothing has been reached at this point in time. I think you as chair must have a discussion with your staff members to find out what is wrong. If they don't have the right resources to be able to assist the presenters, then that has to be looked into as well. We cannot sit here day in and day out with this type of, what shall I call it, assistance.
Noted, Honorable Bosok. But Mr. Bazia, can you take off the screen so that DDG can run the screen as a course she has been given now hosting rights? Can DDG, can you please put up the screen yourself so that you can drive the process yourself? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm sharing now. I hope you can see.
Yes, we can see.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've dealt with the issue of the CS. The other issue that was raised really was that the time, the turnaround time, and which we have noted really, Chairperson. Then on the next slide, the issue that was raised was the small enterprises not being represented in bargaining councils, but being bound by agreements reached at national level, but also that the bill is silent on incentives for small enterprises. The response really here is that the intensive incentives and program interventions don't need to be included in the legislation, but need to be aligned to policies, which I think to a certain extent we've tried to do. Then in terms of the actual sections, section 11, subsection 2 on the shareholder powers, the comment, the input there was is that the minister, Minister appoints the board, the issue that the minister appoints the board on the recommendation of the board after the transparent process has been concluded. The issue here is that there won't be a board to recommend to the minister. So our response there is that in addition to section 11-12 and the position of the provincial committee, it's pointed out that a provision has been made in the bill for the transitional arrangement that will deal with the fact that this will be the first board to be appointed. So the transitional arrangement will ensure compliance with the requirement for transparency as well. The next point is also on the powers or shareholder powers. The bill must clearly define the it's stated that the bill must clearly define the process for the appointment of the board members, including specification on remuneration to prevent unilateral control and ensure parliamentary oversight. The criteria and scenario necessitating the High Court order for appointing director not recommended by the board must be provided for in section 11.3. Our response is that in line with section 68 of the Companies Act, the memorandum of incorporation will provide more details on the appointment of the CITFA board members. The bill already requires accountability by the minister for the remuneration levels informed by best market practice and applicable guidelines. So section 11.3 counters powers of the board and strengthen the shareholder accountability as represented by the minister. The provision also ensures good governance. The next one on the agency powers and functions, the comment is that this section should be expanded to include the agency's role in fostering economic inclusion. This involves promoting participation and development of small enterprises in areas that are previously disadvantaged or less formal. Supporting a wider range of entrepreneurial activities and contributions. Our response here is that currently government policy allows for the special treatment of small enterprises in historically disadvantaged areas. Several programs are already in place and more are being developed to ensure that we address these sector-specific needs in the ecosystem. Section 16, subsection 4, the composition of the board. The view of the CEO and the CFO as members of the board, it submitted that the bill requires clarity on their voting rights, stating that the CEO is responsible for the appointment of the CFO, which does not make the CFO a voting member of the board. It's further submitted by MEGA that only the CEO should be an executive director with voting rights, with voting powers, to the exclusion of the CFO who should attend board meetings by virtue of his position in the entity. The other issue is the provincial committee noted that both the CFO and CEO and CFO are members of the board by virtue of their position, but does not have voting rights. The recommendation is noted. Section 16, subsection 4 states that the CEO and CFO are executive members of the board, but does not deal with the voting rights. The voting rights will be dealt with in the memorandum of incorporation. The next session deals with MEGA submitted section 17B. Create a conflict of interest in that members of the Human Resource Committee will have nominated themselves to serve on the board, which could be biased and also against the principles of good corporate governance. The recommendation is to delete inter alia to make recommendations to be appointed to the board in terms of section 12, subsection 2A. Committee, however, noted that subsection 17B is in line with the latest governance structures of boards and does not support the MEGA proposal. The response is that the objective of section 17B is to ensure alignment with the latest governance structures of boards. On the chapter 2 of the Act on the Advisory Body, in chapter 3 of the bill on the ombuds, the bill retains an advisory body working alongside the ombuds service. Both are crucial for supportive business ecosystem, yet require careful management of their broad discretionary powers to avoid abuse. Response really here is that the objectives and functions of the advisory body and the ombud are respectively provided for in the Act and the Bill. The objective of the advisory body is to represent the interest of small enterprises and make recommendations on their development needs to the minister, whilst the ombuds, on the other hand, deals with business-to-business disputes. On the appointment of the ombuds and the deputy ombuds, the comment is that the appointment of the interim ombud leadership should be limited to 90 days. The bill must specify the required qualification for the ombuds and the deputy ombuds, mandating a law degree and a significant experience in the relevant fields. clear guidelines on their appointment, emphasizing transparency and parliamentary consultation are essential. The response is that the bill provides that the minister must appoint the ombuds within 90 days and may appoint the deputy ombud within 90 days. The minimum requirements are set in the bill for the ombuds, its legal training, appropriate experience and possession of knowledge of the small enterprise, trade and industry, finance or economic sector. The bill also requires a transparent nomination process. On remuneration of both the ombuds and the deputy, the comment is that it should align to the public service level, not exceeding level 15. This alignment will ensure that there is consistency within the public service standards. The bill does make provision for the minister to consult with the Minister of Finance on the remuneration of the ombuds and the deputy ombuds. This will ensure that the process remains aligned to the public service standards as well as fiscal responsibility. On the powers and functions of the ombuds, I think section 17G subsection 7A to C, the request is to specify timeframes for actions taken by the ombud. The current the submission is that the current wording is vague and allows too much discretion, leading to possible delays. Also a request for a structured approach, including regulatory timeframes set by the minister, is recommended. The bill currently provides that reports, findings, recommendations, or determinations be made as soon as possible. If we need to put time frames, we may need to put those in the regulations that will be applicable to the ombuds. On the overlapping jurisdiction of the ombuds with other ombuds services, the suggestions that the bill integrates other ombuds services and appeal mechanism into its scope. The response really is that a lot of care has been taken to ensure that there is no overlap. This has been provided for under different provisions in the bill. 17J allows the ombuds to dismiss complaints if it's more appropriate for the complainant to be dealt with by another alternative dispute resolution process or the court. Section 17X enables the office to take any steps in line with Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act 2005, Act number 13 of 2005, to facilitate, promote and establish interagency collaboration, coordination and the rest. Or with institutions such as Competition Commission, Consumer Commission, the Companies Tribunal, and the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, to avoid the duplication of services and ensure optimal utilization of existing alternative dispute resolution services. Clause in the Bill 17M, determinations by the ombuds, the comment is recognizes the adjudicatory authority granted to the ombuds for resolving complaints. However, there is a call for amendments to provide explicit procedural details, including whether determinations will be made following hearings or based on documentary evidence. The aim is to ensure the ombuds adjudication process is transparent and fair. The response is that to ensure the determination by the ombuds is transparent and fair, Section 17M 5 to 8 requires compliance with normal court rules. Copies of determinations and reasons thereof will be submitted to the clerk or registrar of the court that would have had jurisdiction on the matter. and there is also a right to judicial review. 17N on the staff of office, it's recommended that the staff remuneration within be kept, within the Ombuds service be kept at level of chief director. This policy would uphold fiscal responsibility and align with existing public service pay scales, ensuring fair and sustainable compensation practices. As indicated earlier on, also with the Ombuds remuneration, it will be similar. In this case, the minister will consult with the Minister of Finance to determine the director's remuneration, including allowances and benefits, and other terms of condition and conditions of employment, as well as the staff establishment of the office, and the remuneration and allowances and conditions of appointment of the members. Really, the aim here is to ensure that we are good governance and the alignment of remuneration policies across government while ensuring fair and sustainable compensation practices. On accountability, the current requirement for financial reporting within 3 months after the fiscal year end should be revised to align with 2 months mandated for national departments under the PFMA. The response really here is that section 17Q subsection 1 starts by stating subject to the PFMA. So it is subject to the PFMA will take precedence in this case in terms of the reporting requirements. 17S regulations applicable to the Ombuds, section 17S1B to provide detailed guidelines on the types of case fees the small enterprise Ombuds may impose. Such clarity will ensure transparency in fee structuring and prevent financial barriers for small enterprises in seeking assistance. Just to respond, this section requires the minister to make regulations regarding the payment to the office by a party involved in a complaint submitted to the Ombuds in case of case fees in respect of the consideration of the complaint by the Ombuds. The bill thus requires, for instance, subordinary legislation and not just guidelines. On unfair trading practices, section 17Y, bill should not repeat constitutional rights such as those in 17Y92 affirming small enterprises' right to trade and transact freely. Instead, it should focus on specific legal frameworks that uniquely empower and protect small enterprises. The terms related to adjudicate and adjudication in the alternative dispute resolution process require a clearer definition within the bill. The proposed section 17G1A should be amended to ensure that the language clearly reflects the Ombuds role in resolving disputes amicably without formal court adjudication, thus removing any potential misunderstanding about their function. Section 17Y is necessary to set the parameters for unfair trading practice as they relate to the right of small enterprises. It unpacks and qualifies the right of small enterprises to trade and transact freely by specifying the right of small enterprises as it relates to this provision in the bill. The bill also was certified by OXLA as consistent with the Constitution and properly drafted in the correct form. Section 15 of the bill and Section 20 of the Act, the proposed Section 15, especially 15.4, requires setting of service standards, including timeframes for the agency to consider and provide financial and non-financial support. Additionally, Section 20 of the Act should be referred to for defining these service standards, ensuring the agency upholds and reports on them effectively. The response is that Section 15 of the bill refers to the finances of CIDFA and stipulates compliance requirements for money appropriated to CIDFA by Parliament, thus setting minimum requirements. Section 15, subsection 4 deals with the procedures to be followed when granting financial and non-financial support. Specifically for the need for these procedures to allow for the review of such decisions. This is a minimum requirement. Section 20, subsection 1 of the Act enables the Minister to make regulations regarding the design and implementation of financial support to facilitate access to finances by small enterprises and service provider. The regulation is not limited to money appropriated through Parliament. Chairperson, that's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much. We'll take the questions with the colleagues assisting online. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DDG. If you can take off with the presentation. Thank you so much. Honourable members, these are the responses to the on the provinces that have submitted. They were listed there, except Gauteng, KZN, and Eastern Cape. So if there are any questions of clarities on the proposal that they've made in terms of the relevant sections and relevant clauses. Any questions for clarity? I see the hand of Honorable Boshoff.
Sorry, Chair, that was a hand earlier on.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any questions, honourable members, including the honourable that have submitted their negotiating mandate, and if would like to ask questions for clarity in terms of the proposal that you've made, if you need clarities on those, especially those provinces like Free State, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Western Cape, those provinces that. But also, there will be opportunity when members have been able to go through the presentation and compare what they have submitted in terms of their negotiating proposals and compare it to the responses. Honorable Londa, your head.
Yeah, Chair, your last part covered me actually. My hand went up before that. I mean, it's always better to not do this in a piecemeal way. And I'm sure I can just imagine how you are feeling having been thrown in front of the bus by some of the officials today, that we need to make sure that we have this thing, these processes structured. It's not like it's the beginning of the term, it's the end of the term. So when the negotiating mandates were submitted, we've got the responses now. I'm sure this will all be communicated back in writing so that we communicate that with all our colleagues, including those that's still missing. But those that's still missing, what's the deadline that you then put for that to roll out? Because as you know, time is really running out. And as I said to you earlier, I did send you that legal opinion that we need to. We're probably going to trip over ourselves here, Chairperson. But if you can just get guidance on that road ahead.
Okay. Department, with regard to the Eastern Cape and Gauteng, And KZN, because the committee secretary has confirmed that KZN has also submitted now. Can we agree that by Thursday we'll get the comprehensive responses now to all the provinces by Thursday? E.G.? E.G. Manzini?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm struggling again with connectivity. I might have missed that. Apologies, Chair.
Yeah. No, I was checking now that there are those outstanding provinces who submitted their negotiating mandate late. Will you be able to give us comprehensive responses to now all the provinces by Thursday this week?
Yes, Chairperson, we will definitely be able to do so. Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
Committee secretaries, please make sure that honorable members receive the copies of the responses, but also the provinces as well receive the copies of the responses from the department, and also Advocate Telana also made a commitment that by tomorrow she'll be able to provide us with responses on the legal and constitutional matters. Now that so far there are no questions for clarities, I of the view that members will need time to go through those responses, compare them with the submission made by the provinces, and will be in a position to engage next week on Tuesday. Is that a correct assessment, honorable members? I take it that we agree with that. I just want to go back to the point that was raised by Honorable Lund. Just as a start, I just want to indicate that we running this process according to the rules and the legislation. If you remember, honorable members, where we received the briefing on the 6th of February this year. After presentation, the minister made opening remarks. The DG, I think, took us through the presentation, introducing the bill. Then there were questions for clarities. The minister responded to those, and the DG and the official then responded to those questions for clarity on the 6th. We then tabled the letter from the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, which was written to him by the Speaker of the Western Cape Legislature. We had already also tabled the legislative program. If you can go to the videos of that, they are available on the website of Parliament, the video gallery of the website of Parliament. You just write a select committee on trade. It should show you all the meetings of this committee. And then you go to the one that was on the 6th. On the 6th of February, and then you listen to what happened on that particular day. We amended the program as a result of that letter from the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, as a request from the Speaker of the Western Cape Legislature. I read out the relevant section in the legislation, which is in terms of, in the rules, in terms of 219. It's this part, Honorable Lund, is also in the letter that you've sent to me. I did read this part. Generally, the legislative process is for the Section 76 bills is 6 weeks. But then this rule says, depending on the substance of the bill, the period for consideration of the bill is at least 8 weeks. Remember, the general is 6 weeks, but then depending on the substance. So we will not know whether the bill has a particular substance or not, but we have to err on the side of caution and allow the 8 weeks process. So that's why we extended the process to last week of March, if you remember, in that particular meeting, so that we don't limit to 6 weeks, we take it up to the 8 weeks. And then we responded as such to the chairperson of the SCOP, who then responded to the Western Cape legislature. So we revised then the program to accommodate the 8 week legislative cycle. Then in terms of the program that we revised, we were supposed to have the negotiating mandate on the 6th of February. Then there was a letter now, not addressed directly to me by the chairperson of the portfolio committee of the Western Cape, indicating that there are legislative process that they need to be embarking upon, public hearings, advertising, and they indicated that process would they would be ready by the 19th, which is today, to submit the negotiating mandate. So we responded, we tabled that later in the committee meeting. I can't remember now the date of that meeting, but it's one of within this period. We agreed to that. So we did not have the negotiating mandate on the 16th. We revised the program and sent it to provinces as well in allowing that process. Other provinces did not write for the extension. It was only the Western Cape. So we had to accommodate the Western Cape request. So I'm saying that we've been sticking to the rules, but also now that still within that 8 weeks, it is clear that you won't be able to meet. We will have to go beyond the 8 week legislative cycle. Considers in the event that the substance of the bill requires more time than the 8 week, so which is clearly now it's more than the 8 week period. He said the chairperson of the council may, at the request of the chairperson of the relevant committee, which is this committee. So that's why when I observed that we have to now, because we did not receive all the mandates, it means therefore the 8 week period is not enough. So I then asked the committee secretary to write to the chairperson of the COP for the extension beyond the 8 week cycle, meaning that we will be continuing next week with the negotiating mandates. Then we can only then receive the, because after next week we go for the constituency period, which starts on the 2nd of April. It ends on the 15th of April, and then we'll be expecting then to be dealing with the final mandates on the 16th of April. So that is a request that we will be making, because it is that the cycle is going to go beyond the 8 week cycle, as the rule 221 indicates that, 219, as it indicates that if the It says in the event that the substance of the bill requires more time than the 8-week period, the chairperson of the council may, at the request of the chairperson of the relevant committee or speaker of a provincial legislature, extend that period. So we're making that request that the period be extended. So I'm responding to the concern that was raised by the Honorable Lord that we are within the rules. We're not operating outside the rules. We're guided by the rules of the council. I don't know if there are any further comments from members. So every time there have been requests for extension, we have been acceding to those requests. And to such an extent that now it has arrived at a stage where the chairperson, according to the rules, himself now will be also making further requests to the chairperson of the council, because it's clear that he won't finish this legislation by next week. So we are doing everything within the rules of the council. And so if there are no further comments, honorable members, I will then stage go to the DG for comments, and then we will release the department and also the provinces, and then we will then deal with the adoption of the minutes, and then we adjourn the meeting thereafter. Any comments? Can you hear me, honorable members?
I can hear you.
Yes, sir.
We can hear you.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
All right, no, that's fine. I was calling for the DG, then I thought maybe I'm talking to myself, nobody can hear me. Yeah. No, I just wanted that assurance. I don't know if DG, earlier she indicated that she's got connectivity problems. Or if not, if we're unable to get hold of her, I don't know, DG, you want to make any comments? The DG, Delwa?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, the DG is still experiencing the challenges with the network. Nothing really on our side except that we will honor the deadline of Thursday, Chairperson, and submit accordingly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think next week then we will indicate. Usually the departments, when they come, they send us a list of those that will be coming. But also indicate they will be doing the presentation so that the glitches can be avoided immediately, even before the meeting. Co-hosting rights can be given to whoever will be presenting. Thank you so much. We will see you again next week on Tuesday. Thank you so much. You are free to vacate the platform.
Thank you, Chair.
Also take this opportunity to thank the provinces with us. Thank you very much, honorable members, but also you are free to continue with us, but only have one item, that of confirming or adopting the minutes of the last meeting. Thank you so much. Mr. Bazia, can you help us with the minutes? Do we have two sets of minutes? Let's see, this one and the Tuesday, the fees, there should be also.
It's one set of minutes, sir.
So the one of the 12 are ready.
Yes, sure.
No, they are ready, Chi. I don't know what's coming. Let me just find it quickly.
Okay. Maybe let's deal with the one per feet in the meantime. If there were, was of the view that the one of the feet were adopted last week.
Because they were all the time. Yeah, they were adopted. It's just one set of minutes, but we still need to adopt. It's the 12th of March. If I may just cite those minutes, Chair.
Okay.
Is my screen visible, Shane?
Yes, yes. Okay, I can go down. So much. Are there any corrections, honorable members, on the minutes? I think they've. And can you put them up again? They just disappeared. In case honorable members want to make corrections. Okay. Are there any corrections? Not, can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes of the 12th of March 2024?
Chairperson, I will move.
Oh, Honorable Dangle's hand is up. Thank you, Honorable Dangle. Any seconder?
I second Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Mushogi. Thank you.
Thank you very much, seconded by Honorable Masoud and Honorable Maimang. Can you count our motion? None. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. Are there any announcements, Committee Secretaries?
From my side, we did also circulate the report that we prepared for public comment.
Oh, yes.
So I don't know if members have time, because we did circulate that report to members last week. So I don't know if members just want to consider it today, or maybe when we come back, members just have maybe more time to go through the report.
Oh, okay. Maybe I take it that maybe the progress, it was for noting, because it's more of information and a process kind of a report, the processes. I think it's for noting mainly if, let's say, for argument's sake, there's a case to be made against the bill that we passed, so that information will be made available for such. So for now, it's for information and noting. I think we'll regard it as such. Otherwise, we appreciate the report. Went through it. It covers all the processes that we dealt with, the proposal that we made by the stakeholders, the responses of the department on the proposal that we made, and all the processes related to this legislative process. Unless members would like to have it formally adopted, but the one that is going to be ATC are the ones that we've already passed. I mean, we have already adopted. Any comments? No comments. Any other announcement? Inezulu, thought you were saying something?
No, Chen. I'm covered.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thanks.
Mr. Mr. Bazia, can you please follow up on the issue of the monies for the visas to Germany? I was referring to yourself.
Yes, Chair. Morning, Chair. I have sent an email out to Mr. Daniels. He said I must just speak to the lady at members facility, which I did send an email, sir.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting on a response, Chair, and then I will get back to Chair.
Yeah, no, we can't be subsidizing government, Chair. So we need those monies to be paid. And now the...
Yes, I'm one of them, and I've been waiting.
Yeah. Mr. Bazia will update us. By next week, Mr. Bazia, we should have a final conclusion.
No, Chair, I will have feedback to Chair by latest tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Honourable members, if there are no other comments or any other business, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for your attendance and participation. Also, thanks to the provinces, cultural committees. Thanks to the provincializing officers for their assistance. They've been keeping the chairpersons of portfolio committees on their toes in terms of this negotiating mandate. Thank you so much to staff of the committee, staff of parliament, PMG, our guests, and media. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned.
Recording stopped.